We look to the Lord in prayer and seek the Lord's help as we come before him. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We've come before thee and into the house of God. And now, Lord, we would look to thee and pray that as we would come to worship thee, that thou would help us to worship thee aright, that our hearts will be drawn out after thee. We pray, O God, that the stamp of thine approval will be upon all that is said and done, and that honour will be brought to thine own dear and precious name. Be with us, Lord, and be our helper now. We look to thee and pray that that help from the sanctuary will be our portion, and that the presence of God will be our blessing here today. Answer prayer. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. We're turning to the hymn number 70. The hymn is number 70 as we commence our morning worship. The page number is 203. But the hymn 70, Immortal Honours Rest on Jesus' Head. My God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my cares. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. And we'll sing it to the familiar tune of Abide With Me, the number 70, and we'll stand to worship. We look to the Lord again in prayer. Eternal God and our loving and heavenly Father, we come afresh into thy presence. Thank thee once more for that way of access and entrance before thee. as we come in and through the name of the eternal Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee, O God, on this Sabbath day, that as we come before thee, that we have that access whereby we can enter in before the eternal God, and we acknowledge that thou art the infinite God. Lord, we know our own unworthiness. We feel our own unworthiness. But we thank thee, O God, that there is one in whose name that we come. And Lord, we thank thee for his worthiness, the worthiness of Christ. And we thank thee for our acceptance in him. Thou art the eternal God. We praise thee, Lord, for thy mercy to us. Thou art the God who hath need of nothing, and yet it has pleased thee to look with love and affection and care upon such as us, Lord, gathered here today, those who are thine own blood-bought people. No, Lord, we know today that we have no rights of our own, and so we plead the merits of Christ as we come into thy presence. Lord, we look to thee for this morning service, and we pray for thy presence with us. We pray, O God, that help will be given to us to worship thee aright, that we'll know what it is to worship thee in spirit and in truth, the truth according to thy word, that our worship will be in accordance to the truth of God's word. And Lord, we pray today that thou would be pleased to bless us with that sense of thy presence with us. We pray today that thou would remember each one gathered in. We pray that our hearts will be stirred today as we would worship thee. Bless us, we pray thee, as we bring to thee our praise, and as we gather around thy word, and then around thy table. Let this be a blessed day in the house of God, a day that is owned of God. Bless us to this end. Remember others, Lord, who cannot be found in the house of God today. Those who are laid aside with illness. Some, Lord, thou knowest, who may be old and infirm, and they cannot now come as once they did to the house of God. We pray that thou would tenderly draw near to them. Pray, O God, that this will be a special day, that they'll know the very movings of God in their hearts and the drawings out after Christ, and their souls will be blessed as they remember and consider all that the Lord has done for them, undertake for them. Lord, thou knowest again any that would mourn the loss of loved ones, and we pray for them that thou would warm their hearts and comfort them even this day, that they might feel the arms of the Lord around them, undertake for them. So bless the congregation. Remember again the one who would normally be ministering this house. We pray for her brother, Mr. Omerod, that thou would bless him and his wife, and the children, Lord, at this time, that thou would be with them, that they'll find this to be a time of refreshing. Be with them and bless them. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help our brother again, even as he would minister among the young people at the camps. We pray that in these coming days now, that he'll know that sense of the help and the presence and the blessing of the Lord. We look to thee for our land, for our nation. We hold it before thee, Lord, in all of its darkness and confusion, in all of its sin, depth of iniquity, in its rebellion against thee. Lord, we pray for mercy. We don't deserve anything other than the judgment of God. But yet, Lord, we look to thee that thou would be pleased, even yet again, to move in power and blessing, moving in the hearts of men and women and young people, convincing them and convicting them of sin and of the vileness of sin, and the drawing of them to Christ. Remember this poor province, Lord, once owned of God and blessed of God in a mighty moving and mighty awakening. We look to thee again, Lord, and we pray that thou would have mercy. We think, O God, of the awful depth of depravity that's seen on our streets, Lord, when sin and depth of immorality is flaunted before the face of God. Oh, surely thou art a long-suffering God. Lord, we pray thee yet, in the midst of all of this, Lord, look upon us with mercy. Remember thine own blood-bought people in the midst of this province. We pray, Lord, that thou would have us to know the strength of God and the grace of God to go on with God, to stand for the Lord, to witness for thee. Lord, undertake for us at this time. We pray that thou would be with us. Bless on all of our congregations today around the province, down across the border, over in the mainland, further afield, Lord, we pray that thou would be with those who have the responsibility of ministering the word. Lay liberally to such hands, we pray thee, and bless the preaching of thy word in our province this day to the saving of souls and to the restoring of the backslider and edifying of the saints of God. Answer prayer now, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Returning to the hymn number 62 as we continue our worship, the number is 62, page 200. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. The number is 62, and again, we'll stand to sing. Going to turn to God's word and read some verses from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel in the chapter is 34. Chapter 34 of Ezekiel, and we'll commence at the 23rd verse, the verse 23. Here is the promise of the Lord with regard to the shepherd. The chapter, of course, commences with God's displeasure expressed against the false prophets. In the first two, for example, we read the first one, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And again in the verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And he's speaking here of the shepherds who have done harm to his flock, to his people, and the Lord is expressing his displeasure against such. Now, as we read on into the chapter, we have the Lord's deliverance of his people, and then we come to this 23rd chapter, and the Lord is speaking here of his provision for his people. The 23rd verse of the chapter 34 of Ezekiel, and the Lord says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." Perhaps we ought to say that this is speaking of Christ. David, as far as the literal David is concerned, David the shepherd, David the psalmist, the king, has already left the scene by this time. He's dead. And so it's speaking of another. And of course it is speaking of Christ, as we can see through the reading of these verses. Christ, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his humanity came from the line of David, and thus we have the reference and the name given to him. And of course, the name David also means beloved. And so we have another reference, another pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the beloved Son of God. And so we're reading here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that are found in Christ for his people. Verse 25, "And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and shall cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. They shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I your God, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." Amen. We'll end our reading there just at the end of the chapter. This part of the service we're going to call upon our brother, Mr. Benison, to let us have the necessary announcements. Thank you, Brother.
Well, folks, we do give you a warm welcome to the house of God this morning. We're glad to see you. And we pray that the Lord's blessing will attend to the preaching of the word in our services today. For those that are listening in online, we give you a welcome in your own home, wherever you be. And we pray that you too will know the blessing of God this day. We give a very warm welcome to our brother, the Reverend David Linton, one of our retired ministers, preacher today, in the absence of the Reverend Omerod. And we do welcome him. He was here before. We enjoyed his ministry. And to him and his good wife, we do welcome them in the Saviour's name. Please remember that after the morning service, immediately it ends, we'll be holding our communion service for anyone sitting upstairs during the singing of the final hymn. If you could make your way down to the appropriate rows on the ground floor, and so that we're ready to commence the communion service when the Reverend Linton comes back in from greeting those that aren't able to stay with us. He has brought a book with him. He brought it the last time they were all taken, and he has brought some more. Who is the fool, creationist or evolutionist? And you'll find those on the table. You may be able to pass them on to someone else, but please lift them, they're free of charge, and do take them and use them for the glory of God. Please remember the service this evening, preceded by the season of prayer, 6:30. It's good to see God's people attending. We encourage more to come and join for that season of prayer, that half hour before the services. Please be found in the place of prayer. Pray that the Lord will come and bless and attend to the ministry of the word. Then the gospel service at 7 p.m. and the Reverend Linton will be along to speak again in the gospel. As I indicated, our own minister, the Reverend Ormerod, is at the children's camp this week. It's an early start tomorrow morning, and all week he will be at that camp. Do remember that, please. And in the absence, there is a minister covering, and if you need a minister for anything urgent, please contact one of the men, the elders, and we will be in touch and we will organise that for you. Do remember the meetings during the week. Wednesday night, the Bible study and prayer meeting, and in the absence of the Reverend Ormerod, he has asked me to bring a word at the prayer meeting. So I'll do that with the help of God on Wednesday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of August, remember the two seasons of prayer, 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m., the services in the morning, the gospel service in the evening, 11:30 a.m., 7 p.m., and our brother, the Whitfield College student, Mr. Jonathan Eccles, will be along to bring the word. He was with us before, and then he was due to do his final exams a week after, then go out to America in the summer months. But his father passed away suddenly after that, and he didn't make it to America, and so he will be with us next Lord's Day. Do remember that service, plan to attend and be with us, please, at the House of God next Lord's Day. Some other announcements. Remember the Lockhearn Fundamentalist Conference. It commences today through to next Lord's Day. The services are 12 noon and 8 p.m. on the Lord's Day, and then 8 p.m. During the week. And do remember that, please. Gospel Tent Mission up in Bush Mills, commencing Monday week, the 7th to the 13th. And the preacher there is the Reverend John Armstrong. And if you're up that part of the country, go along and support that effort in the gospel, please. Then the Christian Workers Training Academy, we mentioned it last week, commencing Thursday evening, the 12th of October, in the Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. A total of 14 lectures, 7 just before Christmas, 7 in the first couple of months or so into the new year. And the fee for that, if you would like to go and attend and be part of that, is £100. And details of the subjects and how to apply are on the notice board in the hall, please. So do remember that as well. Just one other announcement before we mention the sick. We want to pass on our thanks to our brother Bill Stewart yesterday for the organisation, all the work he did behind the scenes in the church trip. For all who were there, I know that they really enjoyed themselves. We had a good time together, good food, good fellowship, and we do want to acknowledge that and to pass on our thanks to our brother Bill for the efforts that he did put into that. Do remember the sick of the congregation at this time, those in their own homes and in nursing homes. Remember our brother Eric Barnes is still recovering at home. Our brother Robert Catterson, do remember him. We miss him here at the organ. Amanda Ballum as well. Remember her as she recovers, still getting treatment at home for her illness, and we pray that she'll know the touch of the Lord. Then her sister Edwina Ritchie is going into hospital on Tuesday for a major operation. Do remember her, sister Edwina. Bring her before the throne of grace in prayer that the operation will go well, the recovery will be good, and that she'll be back again with us then in the will of God in the future. Do remember these folk in your private prayers at home, and even in the prayer meetings here. Bring them before the Lord in prayer. Those are all the announcements that we need to make at this time, and I'll hand the rest of the service over to the Reverend Linton again. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, our brother James, again for his words of welcome to Ballygan. We're glad to be here today, and we do again have to say that we appreciate the invitation by your minister to come along and to minister God's word today. So we're glad to be here, and we look to the Lord for his help, that the Lord will be pleased to bless us as we would tarry before him. Returning to the hymn number 96, we'll make this the offering hymn. The number is 96, page number is 215. The hymn number 96. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. The number is 96. We'll remain seated while the offering to the Lord's work is being taken up. To the Lord again in prayer. Our God and our Father, we look to thee again as we turn afresh to thy word. We need thee, Lord. We throw ourselves upon thee. Come to thy word now, to the hearing of it and to the preaching of it. We have no help but Thee. Thy word, Lord, will be cold and clinical without the application of it to our hearts by the Spirit of God. And so we pray that to that end Thou would be pleased to work. Close us in with Thyself, we pray. Take every distraction and distracting thought from us, that our minds be upon what Thou would have to say to us. Lord, Thou knowest the need of the preacher. Meet that need, O God, we pray Thee, for Thine own honour's sake. Bless Thy word to every heart. Pray that Thou, Lord, would give me that fresh anointing, that I might know the power of God, the Holy Ghost, in the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Pray again for clarity of mind. I ask Thee, Lord, again for a plainness of speaking, that all will understand what the Lord has to say. Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to make much of Christ, to preach Christ. Undertake, Lord, we pray Thee, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. We're turning back again to that chapter 34 of Ezekiel, those verses that we read together, reading one verse in particular, and this will be the subject for our text today. That's Ezekiel 34, and it is the verse 29. The Lord is saying here, I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. And it is that phrase there, a plant of renown. One very interesting feature of the Bible is that of illustration, of symbolism, as a form of teaching. We are familiar with this form in many ways and in the secular world. For example, children are often taught by means of symbolism. When they're learning, for example, the alphabet, they will often be helped with the use of pictures or illustrations. For example, for the first letter, A, it may be with the picture of an apple, so that the A will help them to be able to pronounce the first letter of the alphabet by using the word apple. And then for the letter B, perhaps the picture of a ball, and the letter C, the picture of a cat, and this will be useful to them, and so they will learn much by way of symbolism. Now we are taught some of the deepest and the most important truths with the help of God given word illustrations, God-given symbolism. The most important subject in the Bible, of course, is the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how often the Saviour is presented to us by use of symbolism. For example, He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and it brings before us that which is taught throughout the scripture, that the Lord, He is eternal, without beginning and without end. He is pictured for us as the rose of Sharon and as the lily of the valley, and thus is set before us His beauty and His fragrance. He is called the servant, and in that we have His work and His subjection to the will of God the Father and His humility. He is called the tree of life, and therefore we can see Him as the giver of salvation. And so we have the symbolism going on and on throughout the Word of God. Now here in our text we find that He is called the plant of renown. The Lord says, and I will raise up for them a plant of renown. Literally, the word that is used here, it is to have a name, to have a good name. It has within it the sense of that which is recognized as being extraordinary, recognized as being special. And it is teaching us that Christ is special. When we read of him then as the plant of renown, the plant who has a great name, he is brought before us as the one who is special. Christ is special. He is special to God the Father. He is the beloved Son of God. The Father speaks of him in such language when he is spoken of there as the Father's Son in whom he is well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, is what God the Father says. Of course, he is special also to the angels. We read in the opening chapter of Hebrews, and in the first six there, that all the angels worship him. And of course, the Lord is special to the redeemed. He is precious to those that are redeemed. I want to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as a plant of renown. I want to see the reasons why he is special to us, why he is special to those that are redeemed. And this fact that he is special is seen in the characteristics of a special plant, of a plant of renown. First thing we want to say with regard to the Lord in this respect is he is special because of his rareness. The more rare a plant is, then the greater its value. I'm not very familiar with plants, with the name of plants, but I know that there is a rare orchid in China, and it was sold way back in the year of 2005, I think it was. It was sold for £160,000. It is the most expensive flower that was ever bought, and it was bought at that price because it is very, very rare. I understand that there is another flower that is found in Sri Lanka, and it is regarded as the most desirable and valuable plant on earth. Very few have seen it in bloom because it blossoms just before midnight, and then it will perish before the dawn of the next day. And therefore it cannot be sold, it cannot be bought, but it is the most valuable plant because there is none like it. We know that people will travel the world to see a rare plant because it is very special, it is rare, it is unique, and therefore they will want to see it. It holds that value, it holds that interest. Now Christ is the plant of renown. He is special. He is unique. There is none like him. He is special and he is precious to his people. There is none like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else was born like him because he was virgin born. No one else lived like him because he lived a sinless life. No one else died like Christ because he died an atoning death. His blood is unique. It is the blood of God. It is cleansing blood. It is justifying blood. It is reconciling blood. We read in the John chapter 3 in the verse 31 that he is above all, that he has the preeminence. People, there is none like Christ. He is special. He is the only begotten beloved Son of God. He alone is the mediator between God and man. He alone is the God-man with the two distinct natures of perfect deity and perfect humanity in the one person. He alone is the unspeakable gift of God, a gift which no other gift can ever compare to. How precious the Lord is to his people. As to his love, when we try to speak of it, we only finish by saying with the apostle, it passes knowledge. We cannot fully understand it. We cannot fully grasp the love of God, that he should love us, that he should love sinners, that he should love rebellious sinners like us. As to his sufferings, we cannot describe them, for no man sorrowed as he sorrowed, as we read in Lamentations 1 and 12. As to his riches, all things are his. They are described in the scriptures as
unsearchable riches as to his words. John 7:47 tells us that never man spake as this man. The Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks with authority. He speaks with divine authority. He speaks words of truth. He speaks words of wisdom. He speaks with love. He speaks with affection. People, Jesus is special. He is the plant of renown because there is none like the Lord. But then, the Lord is special to us because of his beauty. The Song of Solomon, speaking of the Beloved, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride says of him, he is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. When judges at a flower show would mark the exhibits there, they look for colour, for a richness of colour, or for the delicate paleness. They look for the elegant shape and form of the petals, and they look for a stately, a majestic appearance. Plants, flowers, they're judged on their beauty. But in Christ we have one who is more lovely and more majestic than all else. He is everything that pure and holy beings could ever desire. How perfect he is in all of his graces. We think of the graces of the Lord. We think of his humility. His humility in becoming man. We read that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. We think of his meekness. How meek he was in dealing and even in bearing insults that were made against him. We think of his gentleness in dealing with those who were needy. We think of his patience in enduring suffering. We think of his submission to the Father's will, his devotion, speaking of whole nights in prayer. We think of his kindness in going about and doing good. The Lord Jesus Christ is special because he is altogether lovely, infinitely perfect and absolutely pure. He is elegant and majestic, and he is beautiful. He is a plant of renown because of his beauty. But then he is special because of his healing properties. Some plants we know, of course, are used for healing. And so Christ is set forth in the scriptures. We read over in Jeremiah 8:22, he is the balm of Gilead, a fragrant ointment that is used to heal and used to soothe. We know that he is the great physician as he is presented to us in the Word. But people, as we look at the cross of Christ, we see him there as the great healer. We look at his work on the cross. We see his precious blood, the blood that he shed. There is the cure for man's greatest disease, the disease of sin, that disease that plagues us all. We look to the cross of Calvary, and we see the cure for man's sin. Here is the healing property of the Lord Jesus Christ in his atoning work. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin. We're told that in the scripture in John 1 and the chapter 1, in the first 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And dear unsaved, this is what you need. Because your sin is vile and filthy, it grieves, it offends God, and it carries the punishment of eternal damnation and hell. Christ's blood is the only remedy for your sin. And dear soul, you will never be in heaven unless you know the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of experience, unless you come as you are, a sinner, to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge your sin. and repent of your sin, turning from it, and look to the Lord for his saving power. Look to the Lord for his cleansing, my friend. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might save you. This is the only cure, and is offered to you in the gospel. It's for all who will repent of their sin and call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Christ is the Savior for sinners. And so when we read of Christ as being special, as being unique, as being the plant of renown, he is unique, he's special, because he's the only one who can save the sinner. His atoning work is the only work that will satisfy the justice of God. The justice of God declaring that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Dear sinner, that's where you are today. You need the saving power of Christ. You need to come to Christ and look to him to be your Savior. But then, of course, we think of the backslider. And maybe there's one here today, and once you walked in fellowship with the Lord, and once you enjoyed the Lord and the things of God, and were involved in his service, but here you are today and your heart perhaps is cold. You know, maybe others about cannot see, sense the coldness of your heart, but maybe there's one in the meeting and your heart today is cold towards the things of God. You've lost your appetite for the Lord. You've lost your appetite for his word and for his worship and for his service. You've just lost your appetite for the things of God. My dear friend, see him in all of his beauty. See him in the work that he's done to save you. Oh, look away to the cross work of Christ and see the Savior's love for you. See what he has done in order to save you. See the pain that he endured to save your soul from hell. Look away afresh to the Lord today in his atoning work. Look to him, my friend, and see him in his beauty. See him in all of his love. And if you look to him, he will speedily cure you. And he will speedily restore your appetite again for him. Lord Jesus Christ, he's the great healer. He heals the sin-sick soul. He can heal the backslider of his backsliding. And dear believer, there's healing for you too. Have you been hurt? Perhaps some word has been spoken, some harsh word, and it has pierced into your innermost soul, your very heart, and it has hurt you. And maybe today even you think of those things that were said, and they grieve you still. Or maybe it was just an angry look, maybe even from a brother or sister in Christ, a displeasing look, and today you find yourself to be grieving, to be hurt. Maybe you've been wounded by problems in your lives, or disappointments and discouragements, hurting today perhaps of loss that you have suffered. Dear child of God, there is a soothing balm in Jesus. He is renowned for his healing. We sing that lovely hymn, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows and heals his wounds and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna for the hungry soul and to the weary rest." Dear child of God, just look on him and see his love for you, and see what he has done for you, what he's doing for you now as your Savior, interceding for you, pleading for you in glory. See what he will do for you, that one day, dear child of God, he'll bring you away from this old world of suffering, and he'll bring you into the glory land, to the mansion that he has prepared there for those that love him, for those for whom he died. People, there's healing in the Lord.
Dear unsaved, look to him today and be saved. Dear backslider, look to him and be restored. And dear child of God, looking at him, be blessed in him. But then, of course, he is renowned for his fruitfulness. The bride, in the Song of Solomon, second chapter, that third verse, she speaks of him as being special. And there we have the words, he is the apple tree among the trees of the wood. And she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He is the apple tree, singular. Only one of his kind. There were other trees there, the trees of the wood, but he is the apple tree, singular. And she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. We can picture the scene. We can picture a weary traveller. He's been travelling from the early hours of the morning along the dusty paths of that eastern country, and the sun has been shining and is getting hotter as he goes along, and he's tired and he's weary. But around the midday time, he sees there a tree that is blossoming with leaves. And he throws himself down there at the midday hour, when the sun is shining and is hottest, under the cool shade of a leafy tree. That's the picture that's presented there. And oh, how welcome is that place of rest and shelter for that poor traveller. Especially shelter under the tree that is laden with delicious and refreshing fruits that he may pluck and eat freely. That's the picture. Picture of the child of God going through life. Sometimes we have to bear in the heat of the day, whatever it should bring along. But dear people, Christ is that plant of renown. He is the apple tree that gives the shade, the shelter, place of shelter from the heat of the day, a shelter in a weary land, from the troubles and the problems and the disappointments and discouragements and the hurts of life. He's our shelter. There's a different picture used, but it's teaching the same lesson in that hymn. It's based on the Psalm 94 and the 22nd verse. It says, the Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storms, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. That's what the Lord is to his people. He's a shelter in the heat of the midday sun, in the heat of all of the troubles and the burdens of life. Then we can go to him, we can rest in him. In him we have all that we need, all of the rest and the comfort that we need. And we also have the fruits of the tree. Bride says she sat under this apple tree, and she talks there about how his fruit was sweet to her taste. Oh, what blessed fruits we have from the Lord. In him are all the blessings that we could ever desire, all of the promises of God that are yea and are amen in Christ Jesus, all the fruits that we can enjoy, pardon, and we have peace with God, and the provisions of God, and the presence of God with us, and his love and the assurance of his love with us. How precious these things are. The hymn writer said, O soul, are you weary and troubled? We can be. Sometimes the child of God can be weary and can be troubled. Many things in this world that comes against us, and this old wicked world and this old wicked province where sin is flaunted in our face and in the face of God, where that which is outright iniquity and vileness and filthiness is paraded before us, does it not get the child of God down at times? My friend, are you weary and troubled? What does the hymn writer say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face
and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what we do. We look to the Lord. We rest in him. We feed on his promises. We enjoy the blessings that he bestows upon us. We look full in the wonderful face of Jesus and the things of this world. They grow strangely dim, don't they? When we're alone with the Lord and we bring our problems and difficulties and hurts to the Lord and talk to the Lord and he talks to us, don't our problems and the things of this earth, they grow strangely dim? For the Lord takes them and he carries them and he speaks to us and he reassures us in the light of his glory and grace. I tell you people, there's no one like Christ. There's no one like Christ. And let me just finish on this. He is renowned for his durability. We know that all plants wither and they decay and they die. But he continues on the same. He tells it in his word that he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. He never changes. He never changes in his glorious attributes, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, his truth. These never change. He's always the same. He never changes in his love for us. Everlasting love. What a wonder that is. We look at our own hearts. We don't deserve the love of God. But he never changes in his love. He tells us that he loves us with an everlasting love. He never changes in his faithfulness to us. He never changes in his care for us and his provisions for us. He never changes in his presence with us. He says, I will be with you always. And then he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. People, he is the plant of renown. There is none like Jesus. Hymn writer summed it up when he wrote, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. There's no friend like him who is so high and holy, and yet no friend is so meek and lowly. And there's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. Was e'er a gift like the Saviour given? No, not one. People, he is the gift of God, provided for our salvation, for the healing and the cleansing of our souls, cleansing away of our sin. What a gift this is. He's the gift of God that brings to us pardon through his atoning work. He's the gift of God in whom we have all of the blessings of God flowing to us. He's the gift of God, for we have his presence with us. He's the gift of God because he meets our every need. Was there ever a gift like the Saviour given? No, not one. No, not one. People, do you know Christ as your Saviour? If you don't know Christ as your Saviour, my friend, you don't know what you're missing. You're missing out on the joys of salvation and the things that accompany salvation. Oh, that you might come to Christ today for cleansing and know the grace of God and what it is to be brought into the very family of God and know the blessings that are for the adopted children of the Lord. Sinner, come to Christ. Backslider, come back to the Saviour who loves you and who longs for your fellowship again. And dear child of God, look to him and enjoy every blessing that are ours in Christ. May the Lord be pleased to apply that which is of himself to our hearts today from his word, that it might be a word that is owned of God and blessed of the Lord. We look to the Lord in a wee word of prayer.
Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all that we have in Christ. And we can say today there's none like Him. There's none like Christ. We thank Thee that He is our Saviour, not because we deserve it, but because of the love of God and the atoning work of Christ. Bless these things to our hearts, Lord, we pray Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would continue with us as we would gather around the table. Let Thy presence be sweet to us, we pray. Remember those who must leave us now before the table. Put Thine hand upon them. Pray that as we leave this house, then leave with the word of God in their heart, that they might know the blessing of the Lord. We pray that Thou would answer prayer to this end. Be with us, Lord, we pray Thee, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Returning to the hymn number 655, the hymn is 655. Amidst us our beloved stands, and bids us view his pierced hands, points to his wounded feet and side, blessed emblems of the crucified. The number 655, we'll stand to sing, and those who must leave us before we gather around the table, if you would go during the singing of the first two and onwards through the hymn, and we will go to the door, and we'll shake hands with you as you leave. The number 655, and we'll stand to sing.